Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh no. Oh no. I just saw the picture. Oh. This is horrifying. Oh my goodness.
So anyway, our pal, the suit, was on TV duties Friday night. He was field reporter on SEC V8 for live coverage at the Seawolves Grove Midwest game. And he told me, he goes, all the people that were screen grabbing their TVs and sending him texts during the telecast on Friday night, I got a few from a couple of people. I was trying to do the halftime scoreboard update on Eagle 107. And I like, wait, hey, there's Kevin on my phone. It's like, wait. I was dry. He was not.
This, I'll be honest with you. This is horrifying. What is the thought process there? Ay. I also got an email from a guy announcing his departure. I have no idea who he is. Like, okay.
Good, well, good luck.
Good luck to you. That's let's see. Here. Right? It's mixed emotions. I announce I'm moving on. I'm like going, all right. Right. I mean, what department is he working? I have no idea. I didn't know he was part of the company. Wow. A year ago, you assessed the Steelers' offensive line as being average to good group, not great. Do you have a different with James Conner? First of all, I always tell you when I think I'm wrong about something. I wasn't wrong about that last year. You want to know why? Yeah, I watched the guy dance around in the backfield waiting for a hole to open up. Is that a good offensive line? Not particularly. The Rams have a good offensive line. There's a hole. Now, this year, you got a running back that matches the offensive line. They make a hole, he gets there and goes through it.
Dave DeCastro has really upped his game. He was trucking people yesterday.
Steeler offensive line is having a great year. They're having a great year. I mean, I'm watching Bell back there. I mean, I could not believe the Steeler fans last year. Oh, we have a great offensive line. To me, great offensive lines open holes and people run through holes. So my question to Troy and the gang last year, and again, if I'm wrong about something, what did I just say about Herm Edwards? What did I just say?
You'll let us know.
Right? If I think I'm wrong about something, I was not wrong about that last year. Okay? Good offensive lines get forward surge, get you out of the way, and make a hole.
One key, too, is continuity. Right? That is huge, and that's been consistent this year.
When I'm watching a guy behind the line of scrimmage, oh, he's so patient. He had to be patient. There's no hole. Okay? Now, this year, I think right now they're healthier. They're more in sync. They're playing to a higher level. DeCastro's having a great year. Pouncey, they all are. And they're blowing people off the ball, and they've got a running back who wants to hit the hole and get through the opening. Made a huge difference in the team. So my assessment of the Steeler offensive line last year, right? I would say the exact same thing today if the circumstances were the same. But you also have to look at this year and see what they're doing this year. This year, they're opening up holes, creases, great surge. Connor's getting through the hole. The Steeler offensive line this year is having not a good year, a great year. Last year, no. Again, oh, he's so patient. For goodness sakes, he has to be. Any running back worth their salt would have been thrown for a loss. I mean, really? You thought that was a great run game? Because a guy kind of waited, and they go, that's not how offensive line play works. Stalemates? That's what they were getting last year. Stalemates. And then finally, okay, enough to move, and okay, he'd go through and get a game. So no, I would say the exact same words today I said a year ago, if nothing had changed. Things have changed. The Steeler offensive line is having a great year. Connor's making it pay off for them. They get holes, they get creases, he uses them, he goes. Le'Veon Bell has brilliantly played his way off the team. Brilliantly. He overplayed his hand and got replaced. And guess what? These guys up front, they are blocking with a real purpose and a determination. Like, all right, we don't have the big gun. We'll show everybody we don't have the big gun. We're going to make this thing go, and they have made it go. The Steeler offensive line in 2018 is having a great year. In 2017, no. They were average at best. Oh, he's so patient. I'm like going, that's not how a running game works. Okay, like the really good ones don't work that way. I mean, I know all of you watch a lot of football. You notice like the really good offensive lines blow people off the ball. They don't get stalemates, and then the running back like, oh, I'm hanging in there. Oh, there's a hole. Not anymore. Doesn't this look normal now? Looks normal. Steeler offensive line's having a great year. And Connor is having a great year. Oh, and by the way, doing it for $578,000. Okay. So, Troy, yes, they're having a great year. I always love it. You said, yeah, and guess what? That's one of those I wouldn't take back. You know, if I say, and everyone knows that listens to the show, when I think I'm wrong about something, I just say, hey, look, you know what? I was wrong about that. I just talked about Herm Edwards. I said, you know, I was wrong about that. I wasn't wrong about the Steeler assessment last year and their offensive line. You know, the one that couldn't move Jacksonville out of the way? Yeah. So this year, different story. Great football up front. They've all stepped up their game. They're playing at the level that they're capable of playing. They got a running back that fits how they really do want to block. And it's really great to see.
Oh, speaking of Jacksonville, they are moving the Steelers-Jacksonville game. It was supposed to be primetime on Sunday night, November the 18th. It has been flexed out. It's going to be a 1 p.m. game. It's going to be Vikings-Bears. That'll now be your primetime Sunday night game on the 18th. So that'll be at 11 a.m. airtime on the 18th over on 100.9 The Valley for Steelers-Jags at Jacksonville.
So they flex the Steelers out, huh?
Flex them out, yes.
Actually, they flex the Jags out.
Okay, that's true.
Okay, believe me, because the Steelers, I'll tell you right now, the Steelers draw a great rating. They have one of the great national followings. But how about the Cowboys? The Cowboys get primetime tonight, they get primetime Sunday. Are you kidding me? Really?
It's America's team.
Oh, goodness. Oh.
But anytime we get a chance to see Sean Lee out there, not hurt, giving it his all, that's a privilege for us. So.
Yeah, but we got to watch the other ones, though, too. All right. Well, much as I love Sean, the other guys, no. Okay. Let's get Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Ben, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. You watched it on Saturday. What did you observe Michigan-wise, then what did you observe Penn State-wise?
I think we saw everything we knew to be true about this Penn State team. I think we just saw a Michigan team that was very good at exploiting it. I mean, we knew that Penn State's linebackers are athletic, but they're not as sound and as deep as they need to be. And Michigan on that first drive, 8 straight runs, You could kind of see that. We knew that Penn State was a team that sometimes gets in its own way, and it did that a few times, and it cost them. We know that this is a Penn State team that has had trouble catching passes, and that moment that was an issue. So I think, you know, you didn't really learn anything about Penn State you didn't already know. I think if you just look at Michigan, they're very much a we're going to do this to you and you're going to have to stop it kind of team. They're not necessarily super finesse. They're not the sort of Ohio State super fast team, but they're going to run it up your face and you're going to have to stop them, and Penn State couldn't. And I think you couple that with the fact that the offense has really, you know, for all intents and purposes, struggled this much against everybody. It's just been able to, you know, make up for it against teams that are not quite as good as Michigan. You know, so I don't know if we really learned anything. I think we learned a little bit that Michigan's defense is very much for real. Mm-hmm. I think Shea Patterson looked better than he did at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
But overall, you know, this is everything we thought we knew. I think everyone reasonably knew going into that game Penn State was going to have to play way better than it had been to win. It didn't, and ultimately you get the result that you had. I thought Penn State might score a little bit more, but at the end of the day, I think that didn't really surprise me all that much.
What about third down? They're 34% on third down. Is part of this maybe getting something better on first and second down to set up more manageable? What is it about third down?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely what you're doing on the other downs, because you look at the number, and I had it in my head yesterday, but I believe it was something around 8 yards or so that Penn State was needing on third down, and that comes to what you're doing down to what you're doing on first and second down. There's no doubt that if you're off schedule, you are just facing a difficult task on third down, especially if this offense is not one that is gaining, you know, chunk yards, 8-9 plays, you know, a play to begin with, and suddenly you're in a situation where you go not only the third down, now you've got to gain more yards than you've been gaining on average on every down. You know, it's a tough spot. Now, certainly there's a lot of things that play into that, but without a doubt, your third down conversion rate comes down to what you're gaining on first and second down, and we've seen for a year that Penn State has been putting itself in a position for various reasons, probably a different reason each week, where it's facing a long third down, and right now they're just not consistent enough to convert on those long yardage situations.
Something I felt, Ben, in watching the games, I felt for the most part, I mean, not perfect, but I thought Michigan for the most part played error-free football, which I thought really helped with how they wanted to play the game. If Penn State ends up with the three turnovers in the game, there's the 1 foot miss on a hook slide, which was the correct call. There's the miss on the play to Tompkins, and then on the block punt. Now, and this happens. Squirrely things happen on the block field goal. I mean, squirrely things happen as a block below the waist. They had a couple of opportunities because it was 14-0 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. They had some opportunities to actually make this a little different, I thought.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, you talked about the Tompkins touchdown and or lack thereof with Trace, the kick or the block kick return. Yeah, I think, you know, for as much as I've ragged on special teams unit this year, weird stuff, you can really practice a block field goal return and making sure everybody doesn't do something that they shouldn't. Those things are weird. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I think Penn State's defense, you know, much like we've seen all year, has played a pretty good 2.5 to 3 quarters of football. And at some point here, you know, they just shrug their shoulders and go, guys, we've been on the field for, you know, 800 plays the last couple of weeks. You know, you guys got to move the ball. You got to keep us on the sideline for a little bit. You know, I think Penn State's defense, given everything that we know about it and given the team that it was going up against, it did everything it could to keep this a game for as long as it could. So I think you're absolutely right. You know, if you're at Michigan Stadium, you can't make mistakes. You can't turn the ball over. The one thing that, you know, I don't think I would have taken this bet going in, the fact that Michigan had twice as many penalties as Penn State, could be like the third time that's ever happened. But, you know, you can't make mistakes against a team like that if you're good, and you certainly can't do it if you know going in you're not quite as good as the team you're playing.
Well, part of that is, believe it or not, that's actually average for Michigan this year. That's one area where they're not great. They're not great in terms of the number of penalties they take in the course of the year. But offensively, they've only turned it over 7 times all year. They've taken very good care of the ball, Michigan has, and I think that's played into what they want to do. Now you got Wisconsin coming in. In basketball, we talk all the time about possessions. You know, there'll be 2-3 minutes to go. Dick Girardi and I will talk about, okay, how many possessions are left in the game? And Dick says, you know, hey, maybe 6 or 7. That's it, total, between the two teams, total. To me, this is the kind of game where there's the potential for limited possessions. How much more pressure is that put on your offense in particular, on everybody in particular, because there might be limited possessions in this game?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think you look at this past weekend's game and go, it felt like it went by kind of fast, or at least parts of it did. And maybe that's just because it wasn't very dramatic. So you're just not, well, I guess you don't really have the luxury of not paying attention to what's going on. But I do from a time to time. I'm eating a hot dog or whatever. So it seems like it goes by so fast. And it's because you're going to face two teams that are happy to run it, happy to sort of grind the clock out. You know, I think when you've got limited possessions, you have to make the most of it. And that's sort of obvious, I guess, but it really rings true. And for Penn State's offense in particular, you know, you look at the first half and go, you know, if Wisconsin's going to run it, especially if Hornibrook is not healthy this week, and it seems like he's, you know, whatever you want to make of college football injury reports, Wisconsin's going to run it more. They're going to grind out the clock, and you're only going to have so many chances. And more importantly, you're only going to have so many opportunities to make the most of those opportunities. Of the one thing, I think it's kind of funny that, you know, over the years, Penn State's always been a sort of a up and down red zone team, but that's actually one of the things they're best in the nation at, just about, is scoring in the red zone. So if Penn State can get down there, they have to like their chances. But again, you know, you've got to be able to move the chains. You've got to be able to move the ball. And if you're playing a team like Wisconsin, it might take 6 or 7 minutes off, you know, off the clock at drive.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you're only looking at 5 or 6 shots at this thing.
Yeah, because you look at Penn State this year. Penn State has had itself 128 possessions on the season. Wisconsin's had 105 possessions this year. I mean, so you're looking at nearly 2 fewer possessions per game. They try to ratchet that thing down in such a way when you look at it. How anxious are you to see Jonathan Taylor as a running back?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a good, you know, again, a good test after this weekend to see what this Penn State defensive line and those linebackers have learned from that experience. Jonathan Taylor has been, you know, one of the premier running backs in the Big Ten for a while now. He's a little bit like the Phil Mickelson to Tiger Woods when it comes to, you know, Saquon was around and Taylor probably would have been the guy, and now he's stuck behind this other amazing person. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is a great test for Penn State. I think, you know, this is – we talked about this a few weeks ago, that this stretch between Michigan State and Michigan and Wisconsin, it is a punch-you-in-the-mouth kind of bunch of time, especially with Iowa in there as well. You know, if you're going to find out how physical your team is real quick, and Wisconsin's certainly not going to shy away from a lot of the same things that Michigan did this past weekend.
Yeah. They've also been banged up defensively, though. That's something that you'll notice right away about them. Is that's one thing that, if you know, you look at why is Wisconsin 6-3, and, you know, and they'll throw, obviously, Hornibrook hasn't done this and hasn't done that. We've also had a lot of injuries up front. It's also another odd man front that Penn State has to play. How much do you think it helped Penn that they've actually seen 3 of those already this year, and they're seeing another odd man front this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's helpful, especially for the younger guys. You get the familiarity in there. I talked to Nick Scott after the game this past weekend about, you know, how do you become a smart football player? And really, you know, the answer is what everybody already knows. You can watch film. You can be coached, you can see things on film, but ultimately when you go out there and play in front of an odd man front or in front of a read option offense,
right,
or something that you just haven't seen, nothing is better than that experience. So I think for a lot of these younger guys, you know, the more reps they get at a certain look, you know, part of the reason that Trace has been so good over the course of his career, whatever you want to say about the ups and downs of this season,
right,
part of the reason that he's so good is there's no defensive look he hasn't seen. So
that's right.
these younger guys, you know, the more they see, the better off they're going to be.
Ben, absolute pleasure. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Go vote.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Big thanks to everybody that subscribed to our Steve Jones Show podcast. We always drop them on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play after they air live here on WKOK. So if you haven't subscribed, please do so. And if you happen to listen to us on iTunes, leave us a review. We'd appreciate that.
Well, only nice ones.
Yeah. The five-star reviews, yeah. They're the nice ones.
I mean, any less than a five-star review, normally you guys shield me. Sorry, we didn't get that one. Here's one from Butchie in Indiana. Love what you say about the suit.
And the barrels, okay. And the dills.
Hey, come on. I want to leave. I want to lead a shielded life. I don't need that much honesty. All right. Great to have you with us, Matt Leon. Final half hour. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. Auto, home, life, business. They are the insurance experts. They'll answer your questions. They'll get you help when you need it. They'll steer you in the right direction. They'll get you the best price in your insurance and make sure you're covered. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's raining again here today. And how much rain have we had? It has been a historically wet year, summer and fall for State College. According to Penn State's Department of Meteorology, last I checked, they're pretty good. And their records date back to 1887. This is when Great Grandpa Suit was doing the weather. The University Park campus has experienced the wettest year on record as of November 1st. This is after the wettest summer on record and the third wettest fall on record. According to AccuWeather, the State College area has received 13.13 inches of rain in September and October. What's normal? Not this show, obviously. But what's normal is 6.6 inches of rain. We've had more than double. That's pretty good. It's actually double. It's double the number of inches of rain in September and October than we normally get. So they're talking about, you know, what they're going to do with the parking lots here because there's so many grass lots. Wow. Let's see. What's the forecast look like here? Let's see. I'll tell you what I want to avoid. I want to avoid looking at a guy blocking the field with an umbrella on Friday nights. What? What's so funny?
That may happen again this Friday night.
Oh, did we do our play-by-play call of the day?
We did not, but I have it still ready to go if you need.
Yeah, fire it up.
Okay.
It's a great one.
Yeah,
great
it one. Is. Yeah, we'll take you to 100.9 The Valley. Last Saturday night, Greg Wetzel, Justin Michaels with a pivotal Lewisburg Green Dragons play that set up their score.
Third and six from the Blue Jay 48.
Shedleski calling out signals with a right in motion. Back. He's throwing a deep pass to Farinato down the sideline. He's well past the guy. Just
Oh my God!
What a catch!
Oh my God! Oh, what a catch!
Puts the ball at the 5-yard line of Central Columbia with 1:53 to go. He laid out. What a catch by Farinato. A gain of 43 yards on the play.
From the 6, first and goal.
Looks like the Green Dragons are at 2 tight end set now with Shedleski. Shotgun formation. Brown split out wide left. Farinato wide right. Give the ball to Moyers up the middle. He's inside the 5. Into the end zone. He was into the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, Max Moyers, 133 yards rushing on the night. Exciting finish for the Green Dragons. I didn't see that. I expected another night with a lot of offensive points on the board, but Lewisburg gets past Central Columbia by a score of 7-6. So they advanced
Justin
to the...
Justin and Greg did a great job on both those calls, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wow. Big time. Great job, guys.
So they now go to Montoursville for the semifinals in District 4 AAA. That'll be Saturday night once again on 100.9 The Valley. Airtime 6:30. Kickoff at 7.
Very nice. Yeah. Okay, that's our play-by-play call today. You know, we've been talking about Le'Veon Bell and so forth. Got a lot to talk about with Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, how are you? Great to have you with us.
I am not, no.
What do you think of that? I mean, I agree with him completely about market value, but I also feel that his union is the one that said yes, and they created the problem by saying yes.
Yeah, I see that point, but I also look at it as, you know, earlier you were talking about comparing it to, you know, somebody who'd get 120%. But I would argue that, yes, people are doing this willingly and full and stand in line to play football and stuff like that. But Joe average job doesn't have to worry about whether he's going to be able to walk in 25 years and whether he's going to have.
Believe me, I just saw Dan Dierdorf over the weekend. I mean, Dan is like two canes in a wheelchair right now. So believe me.
Yeah. So I said, I am sympathetic to, especially in a situation where a guy can get cut out of nowhere and there's no guarantees, to trying to get as much money as possible guaranteed when you're putting your future well-being on the line. So you're right about the union, and you know that needs a deeper discussion than I've done homework for. But I think in general, with these players who are putting, and we've seen what happens, and you mentioned Dierdorf, and we've all seen guys that you know, are 30 years, their bodies are 30 years older than their soul is.
No question.
Because of what they did playing in the NFL.
But you know what? So's a coal miner.
No, absolutely.
So's a coal miner. Coal miner puts it on the line all the time, and guess what? Lung disease, black lung, things like that. But, you know, it's not like they haven't. I mean, they put their bodies on the line. What, you know, I mean, in reality, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is that millions of people are going out of their way to watch Le'Veon Bell, and the money's on the table from that standpoint.
But, okay, so, have the TV ratings for the Steelers gone down? No.
I don't think so. Actually, no. I just think the whole league went up, hasn't it?
I mean, actually, the league is up slightly this year.
Yeah.
He hasn't been playing, so, I mean, people aren't tuning in to watch him. They're watching to see.
Yeah.
They're tuning in to watch the 5-2-1 Steelers play.
I just I have no problem with a guy trying to get his in
Neither
that environment, specifically in the NFL, because of what your body, what is down the line for you that isn't necessarily down the line in any other of the professional sports, where guaranteed contracts are the norm as opposed to the NFL.
No question, okay? And in fact, Don Fear is going to be here. It's later this week, right? Don Fear is here this week. Part of the College Communications is bringing him, I believe, or the Legal Center. One of the two is bringing him in. And, you know, let's face it, Major League Baseball, you're right, absolute guaranteed contracts. Absolute guaranteed contracts. You go out, sign a 5-year deal, blow your knee out, blow your shoulder out, still get the 5-year money. So it's a totally different deal. Okay.
Yeah, no question. No question.
All right. So the Eagles are in a division where it is for the taking for anybody. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely, especially after watching Washington fall down all over themselves yesterday against Atlanta.
That's a good way of putting it.
Okay, so here we are at the halfway point of the season. So what do you like about the Eagles? What don't you like about them?
I like the fact Carson Wentz looks like Carson Wentz. You know, you would have no belief that his he had an injury, you know, 10, 11 months ago, a catastrophic one.
That's amazing, really.
I think it really is. I think the defense is shown what it can do at times. They've struggled to finish. They've had some stretches in games where they have struggled. I really like the acquisition of Golden Tate last week. I think he is going to be a dynamic addition to the offense, and I think he could help kind of be a missing piece to the offense that makes things make a lot more sense, because while I probably wouldn't have put wide receiver near the top of the list of the needs, I think his acquisition, he will serve as kind of an extension of the running game in how he is used, given his strengths in taking balls near the line of scrimmage and being able to get yards after the catch. So I think there's a lot to like. It's you know, they're probably two or three plays away from being 6-2, but conversely, they're a couple of plays away probably from being 2-6.
That makes that makes it an average NFL team. That's
exactly
what it is right now.
You know, I think the Super Bowl hangover is real and it's spectacular, and I think we have seen that to this point.
Actually, it's fun knowing that you actually won the Super Bowl. That is actually kind of the cool part of the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, because usually you get that hangover when you lose.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
at least you got the ring. It makes it worth it.
Yeah, look at Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly.
How different are they in terms of approach without Jay Ajayi?
Not that different this year. Ajayi had been up and down when he was in there. I honestly think they've gotten pretty good work out of the three running backs.
Yeah.
And if anyone, I think Corey Clement probably can give them more. He had a calf injury early on, or maybe a quad. And he's been back and playing the last few weeks. Hasn't seemed quite as explosive. So you wonder if it's one of those injuries that's kind of he's just going to have to deal with. But, you know, Josh Adams, the rookie, has done a nice job. Wendell Smallwood's done a nice job. I think they've been adequate at running back. But I think this offense, if they can just get adequate from the running back position, it can still be dynamic. And I really think Golden Tate's going to add a lot to them.
And now, Sunday Night Football, they've got the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys making their 17th consecutive primetime appearance. What do you think about this matchup with Dallas, especially the fact it is in Philadelphia?
It's in Philadelphia. The Eagles get a bit of a break. They're coming off a bye. Dallas will be coming off a short week.
No. They get a break in 2 weeks. They got the Giants. They're 3 weeks. They got the Giants. My team. My team, which, by the way, to its credit, is in flames. All right, so.
Yes. Yes, it is. I like them. I think, you know, it's going to the game against Dallas is going to be really interesting because it's going to be Tate's debut, and you're fascinated to see how they're going to utilize him. I think we'll get a better feel, see how Dallas looks tonight. I think a Dallas win tonight would actually bode well for the Eagles.
You mean Dallas is in? You mean Dallas is in prime time in back to back weeks?
Absolutely.
Oh, this league is so obvious at times, isn't it? I mean, really.
Yeah, but you know, I would say that specifically Major League Baseball is just as bad with the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Oh, of course they are. The Yankees and Red Sox are playing in London next year. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know. You know, I think the Eagles are better than Dallas. I think the Eagles are more explosive than Dallas. Here's another side note that just came across a little bit. Tim Jernigan has returned to practice for the Eagles.
Ooh, that's big.
He'd been out. Now, I think they have a three-week window where he can practice before they have to make a decision on whether to put him on the active roster. But if he can come back, and Doug Peterson kind of reading the tea leaves seemed to indicate that they had a they were hopeful with Jernigan. So if he can come back, that's a big addition to the defensive line whenever it happens, assuming it does, over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, four of the next five, really big for the Eagles. I mean, they got to play at New Orleans in this mix. But then they got the Giants, the Redskins, and the Cowboys. They got four division games in the next five. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they could lose by 50 to the Saints. They win the other four. Yeah. They're right where they need to be.
That's exactly right. That Drew Brees can run roughshod over them. Irrelevant. Okay?
Especially since it doesn't look like the Eagles are going to be in playoff positioning. You know,
right.
That Saints game would worry you more if you were fighting for a 1 or 2 seed. And
right.
Given the Saints and the Rams' success, you don't think that's in the cards for the Eagles. So if you take care of business in the division, you're fine.
Yeah. Hey, look, all you do is make the tournament. Make the
yep.
tournament like the Packers did as a 6 seed, like the Steelers did as a 6 seed. Once you're in, then anything can happen. That's all you got to do is win the division, get in the tournament. Hey, fun conversation, Matt, as always. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Le'Veon Bell has sent out a tweet, by the way. It says, farewell, F-A-R-E-W-E-L-L. No, I'm sorry, F-A-I-R-W-E-L-L. It's not a word, Le'Veon. Farewell, Miami. That's all it says. Nobody knows what it means. He could be leaving Miami for, I don't know, Orlando. David DeCastro, I thought, put it perfectly yesterday. He said, quote, when asked about Bell, honestly, no one cares anymore. Why would I? I don't want to waste the energy. I have to block some of the best players on the best defenses in the world. Do you think I'm going to worry about a guy who's not here? Brilliantly overplayed his cards. If it's me and I'm coaching, I make him run down on kickoff coverage. I make him cover punts. Sir, for 2 weeks, I'd make him run down on kicks, and I'd make him run down on punts. If you don't like that, tough, leave. You weren't here before anyway, and they're 5-2-1. F-A-I-R-W-E-L-L. No. I'd make you run down on kicks. I'd make you run down on punts. You didn't want to be here. When you could have helped. All right, come back. We'll take this phone call in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. By the way, Penn State basketball went to Morgantown, 9,000 plus at the Coliseum on Saturday. 13th ranked team in the country. Penn State won it 84-82. Lamar Stevens at 20-11. Opener is Friday night. It'll be the first of what? I've got eight. Sandy, I was talking with Sandy Barber yesterday. He says, how many games you got coming up? I said, 8 in 15 days. Yeah. So, it could be worse. I could be standing with an umbrella on a track blocking the field. Okay. Oh, stop laughing.
That's true, though. Valid point.
Getting screen grabbed by the owner. All right. Chris in Shamokin. Damn, how are you today, Chris?
Fine yourself, Steve.
Doing great. Thanks for asking.
I got a couple comments on the Steelers.
Sure.
First, they still, no matter how well they played yesterday, I think they played pretty well on defense. I think one of the reasons why was Artie Burns was not on the field.
No offense, I always consider that a plus. I'm with you.
they still need an inside linebacker, but in the
Agreed.
Way they play their defense, it can cover a tight end.
Yeah, this is where the loss of Ryan Shazier, I mean, that's hard to overcome. And you're right, they still need somebody to fill that bill.
Shazier and guy from Florida State before him.
Timmons
were both very good at covering the tight end, which is what they want out of their defense, and they don't have it.
Right. No, I agree with you. I agree. You're absolutely right.
And I don't know. I wanted to thank the people in charge for the great weekend military appreciation.
Well, you know what? Everybody that's been involved in the military deserves our appreciation every single day. So,
thank you for the mention last Monday on my gift to you.
That was awfully nice of you to do.
I hope it was still good.
No. And Derek ran down to the field, so I gave his to my brother.
Good for your brother.
Everybody loved it.
Derek doesn't know what he was missing.
Yeah. in a lot of ways. we have fun with Derek. He's a great guy.
I think Penn State basketball is going to be something to watch this year. I really want to try to make it over to State College.
Well, I hope you can, Chris. This is interesting. To see them go out, they won their two preseason games, but what Pat can point to is that, look, the first one that really counts is Friday, but you'd rather go into the season with some semblance of confidence than without it, so I'm glad they've got the confidence.
Any early whispers on next recruiting class coming in?
Well, they'll be signing the next one coming up in, I think it's the middle of next week, so I think we are 9 days away from the signing date. This is going to be a really, I can't mention names yet,
right.
But I can tell you they're really thrilled with what they were able to do in the early signing period, including going back into Philadelphia.
Well, I think that shows the patience does pay off, and I hope that Bucknell is patient with Joe Susan.
Oh, I hope so, too, because Joe is, I think, an outstanding coach, even better guy, and I agree with you, Chris.
Yep. Hey, nice talking with you. Have a good week.
Always a pleasure, Chris, and thank you again for really, we loved it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So we got a lot in during the show today. Unfortunately, it was this television screen grab that was sent to me from the other night. There's only one word to describe what you sent me, Sean. In fact.
Well, he will not be on the sidelines on Friday night since he'll be down in Georgetown doing Bucknell football play-by-play on Saturday with Matt Catrillo.
I just sent you a text. Okay. Do you have it?
Yes.
Okay. Read my response. Go ahead.
Brutal.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.